Hello, welcome to the Medicine Room podcast. My name's Dominique Liv-Kamal. I'm an Australian nutritionist, naturopath and herbalist. My intention with this podcast is to give you the best information on herbal medicines, therapies, nutritional strategies, health, wellness, and some great simple tips and recipes of things that you can do at home to stay healthy and to stay well. Join me and my guests, and let's all connect with everything that brings us wellness and joy. I'm super stoked to bring you one of Australia's iconic naturopaths who just so happens to live up here on the mountain. She's got an amazing history of medicine, herbal medicine, innovative healing techniques, and eclectic practices. Welcome, Trencha Riley.
Hi there, I'm Trencha, and I'm really, really thrilled to be here today. Thank you, Dominique.
Can you tell us some of your background, how you got into naturopathy?
Well, it all started many, many years ago, before 1980, when my mother had cancer. And what actually happened was I hadn't really gotten into natural therapies or anything. I was still an 8 coffees a day girl. And when I saw what was happening with my mother and what she went through and with all the pharmaceuticals and everything like that, there was something inside of me. When she died, I went, there's got to be a better way. And that's what started it for me. I went, there's just got to be a better way. And so then not very long after, I ended up doing a naturopathic course with Simon Schott. And just accelerated from there. But then I had another refresher about 8 years ago with my older sister, who also got cancer. And she was very much into, I'll do it all the medical way and everything like that. And she actually went on a trial drug. And the trial drug was the thing that killed her, not the actual cancer itself. And again, even though I'd said to her, look, I'm here for you, I'll support you in whatever you choose, because it's not up to me to say go this way or go that way, but she wasn't into natural therapies or anything like that. She didn't feel that it would have helped her. So when she died, again, that thing, it came up, it sprung up for me, and it was almost like a huge angry passion of, hey, you know, even if I can talk to one other person and convince them to do it naturally, I will. And so that's gave me another spark again. And so basically, yeah, family members and so forth were serious triggers where I went, nah, there's got to be a better way. And I have found many, many, there are many roads to Rome. But especially doing it naturally is a far better way. And even people, if they do absolutely nothing, they're much better off than going off and doing chemo and radiation and all of that. Their time span lasts a lot longer. That's what I've found over the years.
Because you've been a naturopath for many years here in Australia. Your property is called Middle Path. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about that?
Okay, Middle Path, we called it that because we figured it was... our sort of truth was not too extreme one way or the other, but the middle path. So that, you know, like I've seen health fanatics who've gone down the path of extremity, and really, like, because they're so fanatical about everything they do, they still end up with cancer and that, instead of relaxing into life and going, okay, every now and then if I want to go and have something naughty, I'll go and do it. But as long as you don't make it your day-to-day lifestyle, you know. And mm-hmm. So that was always been our thing. The middle path was not too extreme one way or the other.
Because that's a Buddhist thing, isn't it?
It is. Even though I recently have become a reverent from the Universal Church, and it virtually means that we believe in one. And so whether it's Buddhist or Christian or any of the faiths, it doesn't really matter. We accept everybody.
Right, the one planet, one people,
yes,
one soul philosophy.
Very, very much for that. And I've done all the extremes, right through to Catholicism, Seventh-day Adventists, born-again Christian.
Oh, so you have a history of religion.
Yeah. Okay. Guruism. Mm-hmm.
You've tried
Bhagwan,
them all.
The whole lot. Buddhism, and I came to the point where I went, I don't want the dogma, I just want to have the connectedness with the divine, and that's what I use when I do my spiritual healing.
Yeah, and so you do spiritual healing?
Yeah, I love it.
Right, could you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, it started many, many years ago when Fergus and I went to Sydney one time and we were doing our three-day mind vision workshops, which we have been doing for 30-odd years by donation to help people. Mm-hmm. And we came back at about 2 o'clock in the morning after a week of being down in Sydney doing this. That was a week-long one, right? Anyway, when we came back, I had to start work in Brunswick. We had a clinic there at the time. And
is this Brunswick Heads in New South Wales?
And we had a lovely clinic there, and my first appointment was 9 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know whether it was all what had happened during the week or whatever it was, but I had an out-of-body experience when I was speaking to my first client, mm-hmm. and I could see what was happening, and I went, hang on, all I'm saying is all the learned stuff out of books and out of everything. Where is it coming from me, mm-hmm. from my essence, from my core? And it had such an impact on me that I said, that's it. I rang Fergus and said, I'm closing the clinic until I can work out
what's going on here,
because this is not going anywhere. I'm not just going to be a naturopath with all the learned stuff, right? So then what actually happened, I was praying for the gift of healing.
Oh, wow.
And it was only a couple of months after, a friend from Brisbane rang me up and said, oh, you've got to come up and do this course on the Friday, but seriously, it's not the course I want you to do. On the Saturday, I've got this wonderful man who is a Danish artist, but he's an incredible healer. Now, I'd been doing yoga for a year by then, and so I was able to still my mind and everything like that, and I was ripe for what was happening. So went to this place, and sure enough, on the Saturday morning, this amazing man, he's died now, he died in his late 90s, but anyway, he was there, and he was about 75 or something, and he had a 29-year-old girlfriend. He was really awesome, you know. He had the most spectacular blue eyes.
Do you remember his name?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of it now. I've just gone a bit blank.
When it comes, let us know, for sure.
But anyway, I walked in there. I'd never met him or anything like that before, and he didn't know a thing about me, and he said, you're a healer, he said, and I'm a teacher of healers, he said, you're ready, I'll show you how. Well, he just, he said, I'll get my girlfriend, and he put her on the massage table, and the next thing he said, now just take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, and just call on what you believe in. He said, whether it's God or Buddha or the dog, whatever it is, you know, call on it to show you what's needed. Well, I put my hands over her, and my hands took off. And ever since, my hands have always, the closest thing I've ever seen to it is on YouTube. They have a few things about hand trembling with the American Indian people.
Mm-hmm. And hands of light.
It's, well, they call it hand trembling, but anyway. So here I'm doing this, and it just went to the areas that it needed, and all this stuff was coming through me. And for many, many years, all I could ever do was, I always do this with clients and everything, and my hands will take off, but I can talk, but my hands won't stop until it's ready to stop. Mm. And that was the gift that I received. He showed me, and it was amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and on that note, you know, like when it comes to healing, everything is energy.
Yeah.
You are a conduit. The information is coming down from the universe to you, from the great, you know, Ekankar or the universe or wherever it may be, whatever we choose. Mm. I personally think that everybody's got the capacity to do that. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. I think we've all got it. We've all got the gift. We just have to still our mind enough to allow the energy to come through, call it God or call it whatever. whatever, but that energy, that force to come through, and you can't do it with a scattered mind.
Yeah, so find the time and be in the right frame of mind and the teacher will come, do you think? Or do people need to go?
I think you have to ask for it.
Yeah.
if you really want it, it will come. The power of the mind is amazing.
This is an interesting aspect of healing, because your healing is so evolved and so mature in a way that you've gone through all the practicalities, the physicality of, you know, the physical body with naturopathy and herbs. And I know that you make all of your own herbal medicines. Yep. Can you tell us about that?
Okay, They call me still the weed lady.
She is the weed lady.
And I might be a bit of the weed lady in more ways than one. I'm only joking here.
No, but it's true, you are. You grow the weeds in your beautiful farm and then you turn them into beautiful herbal medicines. And
so a lot of the weeds on our property is very precious, and we do make wonderful organic products out of them, and then send them overseas or wherever anybody
comes, so I know there's a couple of herbs that you really work with, and I know I don't work with these herbs, but I've finally got some plantain growing. Tell me about plantain. I know it's one of your favorites.
Well, okay, from anything to, if a person, say for instance a young girl is going through hormonal changes when they're in their teens or something, and they can be erratic or anything like that, to a blood purifier, to going through menopause, I've never seen anything better. Like, I remember I always had very, like, 3 days a week, periods, and they were never too heavy or anything. And then when I was 53, all of a sudden, for about 4 weeks, I had heavy bleeding, and I went, hang on a minute, you better go out and, what are you going to use here? So I went out and picked up some plantain leaves, and I made a big pot of tea, and I went, okay, internal bleeding, external bleeding, hormones, plantain was just so profoundly good for it. So I filled up a big pot, poured boiling hot water on it, left it for about an hour, and then I drank 3 cups. The next morning the bleeding had stopped, and I've never had a period since.
Okay, so what you did was you just seeped the plantain leaf in boiling water. So it wasn't just like an infusion, you just left it there
for about an hour, just macerating. Yeah.
Lovely.
And then drank it all, and the next morning it was all gone. And now, one story was, we went down to Sydney, and my nephew was having his 21st, and this lady I knew from down there, she came up to me and she said, oh, Tracia, I'm having terrible hot flushes. And I knew she was she liked her wine at night and everything like that. But regardless, I said, well, and Fergus was standing, my husband was standing next to me, and he said to Frank, my brother-in-law, Frank, come with me, we just go for a walk. And this was in the heart of Sydney, right? So it grows everywhere, the plantain. So they walked up the road, and then, because I said, oh, plantain's what you need. Anyway, they went off and they found some just about 50 metres away on in a crack somewhere on the sideboard ward. Anyway, the next thing, Fergus comes back with these leaves, and she said, I've got heaps of it growing in my backyard. And I said, well, just take a couple of leaves a day. She got back in touch with me a couple of days later, and she said, I haven't had a hot flush since.
Beautiful.
So it's hormonal, it's fantastic. If you get bitten by a snake, a really bad one or anything, you put it on and it'll
like
get you to the hospital.
A poultice.
It'll draw the poison out.
Right.
But it's good for pleurisy, for any virus. So if you've got pneumonia or any lung problems, I mean, it's a broad spectrum of herbs. It's just absolutely fantastic.
So would you say that your herbal teachings and learnings for you personally as a naturopath come from like pagan Celtic culture, or your family background is, your parents were Dutch, you were born here in Australia?
I was born in Holland.
Okay.
Came out when I was 5.
Right.
And we arrived and I was in a camp for 3 months, nearly died with pleurisy.
Right, which one was that? Where were you?
Bonegilla.
What?
Down near Cooma. Bonegilla camp. And mum and dad, after that, they got out of there real quick, and Dad got a contract. He couldn't speak English or anything like that. I couldn't speak English. For 2 years, Dad got a contract on a 5,000-acre property just outside of Puma, and they were there, and they rented a house there. Like that was part of the deal. And he was a farm hand and helped shearing and doing stuff like that. So we were there for 2 years, and then some friends from Holland were just building a house, and their garage came vacant, and they got in touch with Mum and Dad once Dad's contract was over and said, if you want to come to Sydney. So we lived in garages for a few years on and off until they could get enough money to buy a block of land and put a garage on it. And the three kids and that, and Mum and Dad lived in the garage, and that was about three times. And then they managed to get the land and a house with already a foundation on it in Bankstown or Condor Park. And then Mum fell pregnant. I've got a sister 10 years younger than me, and so that was a surprise. And so they had to start building
things like that.
So that all of us. But for quite a few years, we just lived packed in a garage.
Right. Yeah. And so for your education at school, when did you leave school? How old were you?
I was 15 when I left school. I was a bit of a radical. I was more interested in boys than study. But then I found very quickly that it wasn't getting me anywhere, so I started going back to TAFE. I went to TAFE and I did secretarial, and then I ended up for quite a few years there. I got temporary jobs, and I had a very good gift of being able to, how would you say, get around things. Like somebody would say to me, oh, can you work that machine? Oh, I've worked one similar, and rather than them sending me away, they'd teach me how to do it. So I learnt as I went around, and I got a couple of office jobs in that. My first job I got sacked was a cake shop because I hated it. Second one, for 6 months I was in a delicatessen, and come home every afternoon and my hands would smell like garlic and everything, and I went, oh, I hate this, and that's what made me go to tech.
Right. And when did you develop an interest in natural medicines and healing?
Well, once Mum died.
It was at that point.
Yeah, and that's when I did the
course.
So
how old were you then when that started?
About 30.
About
30, I was a blackjack dealer before that, and that was the days when it was illegal, gambling and stuff like that. But I, after my first marriage broke up, I had a young son, and I was very fortunate. I was able to put a deposit on a house, and so I needed people to live there, so that would help me with the loan. And I had one lady who was living there, and she was pregnant. And I was helping her out, and she was helping me out, so she'd look after my son at night, and then I'd go off and I'd been to the Parramatta Casino, King's Cross one, Liverpool one. I'd learnt blackjack.
Right, so you were a blackjack dealer.
Yeah,
you must have met lots of people. Yeah. That's like the opposite to your life now, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know? And I was in always these slinky dresses and everything. I loved it. It was really good. But what it taught me was I got the flair for what psychic abilities are, because you know how they say Lady Luck?
Yeah.
Well, I'd go into a state like, if you ever go to a casino, I haven't been to one in many, many years, right? But they always have somebody watching.
Oh, okay.
And if they're watching, they're seeing how the croupier is going. And if they're on a bad run, they'll pull them off in about 15 minutes and put somebody else on.
Right.
And the reason being was, like what I learnt about that was, it's very psychic in a sense, because remember there were times where I didn't know such a thing as psychic abilities or anything, but I'd know within me that I'd have blackjack or 21 straight away.
Right.
I'd know before I even dealt the
cards.
Before I even put
the cards
down.
So you wished it in, basically.
I don't know. It was just, I think I've always had a bit of a psychic ability in that sense, but it even came through with that, and that's what I see with a lot of the croupiers. When they've got the lady luck with them, they'll keep them on. When they haven't, so if you ever go and you're on the other side of it, just keep a look at that. If they're going downhill, don't do it. Oh no, I mean, do it when yeah. they're going on the bad run.
Yeah, right. Right, that's interesting. So now your healing has turned into a lot of psychic healing, but you've also got the herbal medicines
as well. I do a mix. I use naturopathy, herbal medicine, yep. hypnotherapy, and I've put out 3 CDs or yeah. audios. One's Meditation and Beyond, which for the last couple of years I was teaching meditation and dance meditation yes. at the University U3A, which yes. I absolutely love, the dance meditation. And that came basically from Osho's work.
Yeah, yeah. And that's very popular now, yeah. isn't it? Ecstatic dance and intentional dance and meditative dance.
It works so beautifully. Mm. Like, you've just got to close your eyes and put on your favourite music.
And dance.
And dance, but then stop the music at the end of it, bang, and freeze. And
why are you doing that?
Because that's when you notice the stillness of your mind.
Oh, so you notice that you've gone into that meditative state.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have to cut the music. So just instantly, yeah. bang, freeze in whatever position yeah. you're in, hold that position, and then you just go into this sublime, really sublime state of consciousness where there is no mind, there is no thought, there is just bliss.
Okay, so the no mind state is mm-hmm. something that we all aspire to. Well, in meditation, that's what we aspire yeah, to, isn't yeah, it? To yeah. have no mind and yeah. to just be in that stillness and in absolute presence.
Yeah.
How have you studied this stuff, or did it just come to you?
I did a lot of work with Guru Marachi many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. So that was the guru part of my yeah. evolvement and so forth. And then I went and did a mindfulness course, 10-day Vipassana many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 25 years ago.
Can you tell people who don't know what that is, can you tell them about the 10-day course?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. It's all about learning a method of, like my audio explains it thoroughly, because a lot of people say, oh, I can't meditate. That is their usual thing. And I've gone, no, that's not true. But they say, but I can't still my mind. And I've gone, yeah, I can understand that. But mindfulness is not about stilling your mind. It's about observation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about stepping out of yourself, becoming the watcher, becoming detached, observing the mind and its chatter, observing that you have an itch but you don't scratch it.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing that that is separate to you
yeah.
in a way.
You're the guardian, the watcher.
Yep.
Absolutely just watching everything. And then after a while, as you observe the chatter in your mind, it starts fading and you go, I'm not chattering as much.
Oh, someone's given the monkey a banana.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But as I've always said now, mindfulness is about detachment and observing what's going on with your body, your thoughts and everything, right? But then there's another technique, which I'm happy to share here.
Yeah, we want you to.
Which is called the trance technique.
Yeah.
It'll still your mind immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple, and you can do it with your eyes open. You can be sitting on a park bench or waiting on a bus or waiting for somebody, and you can have your eyes open. And all it is you breathe in through your nose, you hold it for about 10 seconds, then you breathe out through your mouth, you hold it for about 10 seconds. And you can do it with your eyes open or closed. And you continue doing that for a little while. And then you'll see that when you're holding your breath, it's like you're dead. You cannot think. There is no thoughts. There is nothing. So after doing that for a while, you'll realize that there is no chatter in your mind. There is absolutely nothing there.
Okay. Are you telling me, all of us, a beautiful mm-hmm. audience, that if we take a deep breath in and hold the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we hold our breath, mm-hmm. whether it's holding it in or out, mm-hmm. our mind is frozen and we're unable to
yep.
think?
Yep.
Wow. that's enlightening.
Yep.
That's good to know.
Absolutely. Mm. And that basically is the technique I use before I start doing a spiritual healing.
Right. So is that almost to, here we go, do you put people into rebirthing process as well? Do you do any of that work?
I do rebirthing. I love rebirthing.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do group ones, but basically I do a 2-hour session with people and I love it because it's something that you can, they usually only have to have one session with me and then they've got a tool for life.
Yeah.
Rather than going to a psychiatrist or anything like that. It seems to trigger the mind and memories and so forth, but it gets to a point where you see things the way they really are, not the way you think they are.
Right, because it's another thing that's completely taken off again. Like I remember in the 1980s, I used to do the Yogi Bhajan rebirthing before I even knew about Kundalini Yoga or any of that stuff. I used to do his rebirthing.
Yeah,
I loved it. I've done it pretty well all my adult life, and I'm very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's just so popular again.
Yeah, it is.
There's so many breathwork courses, and there's different ways of breath. You might be able to tell me this, because the way I learnt rebirthing was conscious connected circular breathing
through the nose and out through the mouth. Well,
and then the way that Christabel, beautiful Christabel Zama from Breath of Bliss does it is exactly what you just said, through the mouth, in and out through the mouth.
More powerful.
Oh, okay.
So it's basically all the effort is in through the in-breath.
Yeah.
So it's, and then you relax the out-breath.
Yeah, and so is the emphasis on the out-breath or the in-breath?
No, in-breath.
So when the emphasis is on the in-breath, what do you see as being brought in when you do that?
Well, sheer energy, but the thing is you do it with your eyes closed and you have to do it for about 45 to maybe an hour and a quarter to really get the effect.
And you get tingling, your whole body's tingling.
It depends.
Yeah.
Everybody, there are different types of
responses. Yeah.
Sometimes people get tetany. Mm-hmm. And so I always say, look, you know, when people get tetany, which is the hands sort of just screw up or their mouth or something like this, it's usually because the subconscious mind doesn't want to let go.
No.
And the only way through that, they're not going to walk away like that. The only way through it is to keep breathing, and then it goes. But like I had a lady not that long ago and she said she was an atheist. She told me. And I'm sitting there with her for about 2 hours and quite frankly I was going, gee, it doesn't look like she's really getting much, you know. I'm not sort of picking up much here, what's going on, you know, like that. She came out of it and she said, you know, I will never deny the existence of God again. Wow. I had the most profound spiritual experience, which is just amazing. And like I'll tell you one little story about me personally about what happened years ago. It was about a year before my dad died. I was just thinking, Archie, you know, I was being up myself, put it this way, really. Anyway, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my dad's never really done anything. He's never really achieved anything, whatever, blah, blah, blah. This is going through my mind. Anyway, I went off and did a rebirthing. The next thing, all this stuff came about this man who left Holland, couldn't speak the language, with 3 kids and a wife on a 10-pound passage.
Oh, wow.
And the only thing that he had in mind was a better life for all of us.
Yeah.
Then he got that work for the 2 years, couldn't speak English, but he got that. Then when he went to Sydney, he was working as a storm and packer. Every morning, rain, hail or shine, he would be on a push bike riding 9 miles.
Whoa.
Which is at about 18 kilometres here and back in the busy.
He did a lot, didn't he? He was a hard worker.
But, he's thought out of the box.
Yeah.
He'd be at work and they never kept all the metal and everything. They just chucked it in the bin.
Yeah.
And he went, ah, there's money in that. So he used to take a whole stash of it and put it in his bag every day. Mm. And at the end of the month, he'd cash it in and he'd get more money from that than he would from a month's pay.
Right.
And all these things came to me and I went, ah, and I rang him up straight away. Dad, you're a hero. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I am so grateful that you gave us such a wonderful life.
And what a big risk for him to take.
Yeah.
The immigrant's journey into Australia.
Absolutely. They didn't have a clue what was going to be here.
No, no.
They didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever done any healing work with your dad?
No, Dad, they were very conventional. No, yeah. Not really, no.
And not has he been supportive of you doing your healing work?
It was probably 1983 when I first started.
Yeah.
And he never really talked about it or anything like that. He had his own sort of life. And
it's nearly 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was married to Mum for 49 years, mm-hmm. and then she died. And I remember he was pretty well an atheist, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, about 3 years after, he said he'd been to the club and had a few drinks, and he got down on his hands and knees when he got back home, and he said, "Listen here, if there is a God, either take my life now because I don't want to live on my own anymore, or bring somebody to share my life with." 2 weeks later, some people introduced him to another Dutch lady down at the club, and they were together again for another 12 years.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So, you know, like it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So, he did have a near-death experience.
Okay.
Which I was very lucky, like he'd had, some stomach ulceration or something in it. He virtually died for a minute or something on the table, and I went down to Sydney to be there for him. And I remember he came out of the anaesthetic and he said, "Oh, they wanted me to come, they wanted me to come. They were at the gates there, all these people saying, 'Come, come, come,' and I'm saying, 'No, I'm not ready, I don't want to go yet.'" And I worked it out. I said, just as a joke, I said, "Dad, it's because Mum's going to be there, isn't it? You worry that she's going to give you a bad time because you're with somebody else." And he said, "Oh, no, she'd be all right."
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we just get back to your amazing garden? Because I've been out to your property at Middle Path Sanctuary, and I've seen your gardens out there. What are your favourite herbs that you grow?
I love yellow dock.
Yep.
Which is so good. I've seen it for prostate cancer within 3 months of people eating it and everything. It clears it up. I've seen people where they've had huge tumours on the lungs and everything like that, and within a very short time of just having the tincture or the tea, it breaks down the tumours. So, and I've seen it. I've never seen anything as good as it for drinking for iron deficiency.
Right.
Nothing you can buy is as good as that one.
So you think it's better than nettle?
Yes, far better.
Mm.
And so that one I would always love. Right? Yeah. We've got ginkgo biloba trees there.
Wow.
Which I've just, just around autumn, I dry the leaves and then I powder them and then we just put it in with our food and things like that. So that's really good for memory and everything like that, you know. So it's very good. I love your old favourite Biddens pilosa, which is cobbler's pegs. Yep. The cobbler's pegs is amazing. It's, if in doubt, seriously, like it's one of the highest sources of calcium, but it's good for leukemia, it's good for cancers, it's good for the lymphatic system. There is just probably 1,000 things that you could say, like for heart conditions, for everything. So it's absolutely phenomenal.
Your apothecary is completely different to mine.
Yeah.
Like I do not have any of these herbs in mine. Tell me, what else do you use?
Okay, Herb Robert.
Yeah.
We have that growing everywhere. Now, the key is if anybody ever buys Herb Robert, like a plant, don't plant it.
Oh.
Put it in the garden, like in the pot, where you want it to grow. And because it's a surface runner, it'll spit the little seeds out, and before you know it, you'll have it growing everywhere. But if you plant it, they usually die, and they do go dormant around about December.
Right.
And a lot of people go, "Oh, you know, I'm not going to get any more," but January comes and they pop up again. So that is excellent. In fact, I had one guy when I was doing all the naturopathy for Fountainhead, which is a retreat they had in Mullaney. I was seeing a lot of drug addicts and, people, ice addicts. I've got a really good remedy for ice.
Oh, did you work for Fountainhead?
Yeah, for 13 years.
Right, that's amazing, yeah.
And so, anxiety, depression, all these different things. And one guy, he was quite a wealthy man, and he was staying there for about 8 weeks. And on a regular thing, he insisted that they bring him to me just about every day. I don't know if he just liked me or what.
He needed your healing.
I don't know what it was, but anyway, he did rebirthing. He did the one-day detox.
He did everything you had on offer.
Everything like that. Anyway, when he first arrived, instinctually, he was there, and he was an alcoholic. He'd been having problems with alcohol. So the next thing, here he is walking, I was walking him out and showing him where the toilet was so I could get a sample to do a urine test, right? Anyway, I said, oh, here, have a couple of these. So I gave him about five of the Herb Robert leaves, and all the shaking stopped. You know, the tremors of that. So that was quite an amazing thing.
That's interesting. Isabel Shipard, Herb Robert was her favourite herb, wasn't it?
Well, it oxygenates the cells.
Yeah.
And it's the equivalent to, it's a far superior, well, people would use radiation for certain tumours and stuff. But the Herb Robert is a natural radiation without the side effects.
Right.
And I would use the pawpaw leaf and stem.
Yeah. Well, that's one I do use.
Yeah. Well, that is like 200 times stronger than any chemotherapy.
Oh, Carissa papaya. Yes. Yeah. Now you're talking one of my favourite herbs for cancer prevention.
So it's absolutely fantastic. And I remember when I was still down in northern New South Wales, I was sitting on the veranda, and it was a Tuesday, and I said to Fergus, I've got this strong feeling I need to go and get the paper. Now, I never used to go and buy the paper, but I went to get the paper. And the next thing, I got the paper, and sure enough, on the second page, there was this story about Stan. Anyway, this guy from the Gold Coast who was diagnosed with cancer, and he was supposed to die within 3 months. So the Aborigines had told him that if he boiled up the stems and the leaves of the papaya, right, and added then afterwards some molasses, and he had to do that for 3 months. After the 3 months, there was no sign of the cancer.
This is interesting because you say that this is an indigenous healing medicine.
Yeah.
When I was in Indonesia, it's the medicine for if anyone gets dengue fever or gets bitten by a mosquito, any of that, anything viral, they just get the raw, they just make a juice out of it and pulverize it and drink it. Mm-hmm. So this is a medicine that's really ancient and must have traveled just across all of these
digestive
regions.
Digestive problems, nothing better than the seeds and
papaya.
So on and so on. But anyway, so I've got that story on the whole story of it. How it was in the newspaper and this, how they had confirmed that they did testing and it was about 200 times stronger than chemo, but they couldn't get more funding to do anything more with it. And so I've got Stan's tale on our website under Pawpaw there. And about 3 or 4 years ago, this lady got in touch with me and she said, you know what you wrote there? Everything that you've said is accurate, because she said, I knew Stan and he was a bookie and my father knew him and all that stuff was happening, and I would love to write a testimonial because I used to help send all the leaves and everything to people all over the place when they started helping other people.
That's amazing, because there's also some naturopaths I know are doing trials into pawpaw seed as a male contraceptive.
Apparently it's
pawpaw. It's amazing. It does everything. Yeah.
Well, I would like to just say a couple of little things about the COVID-19.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I did a course with the London School of Tropical Hygiene, and that Fergus and I did a course recently with it. And I was very surprised that they never said anything about boosting your immune system or anything like that. And I made a comment at the end of it, and I, for some reason or other, I didn't feel good about mentioning the three herbs that I would have recommended, because there's so much attack on natural therapies at times where people are actually finding that once they've said something really amazing about a certain plant that it gets taken.
We lose it, yeah.
Yeah, we lose it. So I didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
But I did say the story. At the end, they said, oh, have you got anything you want to say or anything like that? So I said, well, if Australia got like it was in Italy, where all the 60-year-olds couldn't get a bed, this is what I would do to help them. And I just said, I remember back in northern New South Wales when I had a very busy clinic those days, and a lot of the farmers were having problems with all their horses dying from respiratory problems.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the vets could save the horses. And they came up to me and said, do you think you've got anything at the moment? And I'll mention it because everybody who's here will probably be on side with what I'm saying anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, Nature Sunshine had a great product when comfrey was legal, of comfrey and fenugreek, a combination mm-hmm. of the two. So I said, well,
was it root or leaf of comfrey, do you remember?
It was a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... The whole plant, because
yeah.
I'm very much into whole plant medicine.
And Nature Sunshine were too.
Yeah.
I remember that company. Yeah.
So I said, well, what do you got to lose? Put 6 of the tablets down their throat, and every one of the horses lived.
Mm-hmm.
It opened up the air passages, and they survived. So I always remembered that and thought how wonderful. I mean, if it could do that with a big horse, imagine what it could do with a human.
Mm.
So I always put that in my little list of COVID-19 things, right? Yep. So then all of a sudden, a few years ago, there were 26 women, and two of them knew me very well. They were all going for a holiday to Vanuatu from Mullaney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these two ladies came and said, have you got anything that stopped me from getting malaria or any...
This is Akeda, is it?
No, it wasn't her. I won't mention names, but a couple of good friends, yeah. Anyway, so what had actually happened, I said, okay, some wormwood.
Mm.
It's good for malaria and viruses.
The Artemisia annua or the vulgaris.
The Artemisia. So anyway, then they were the only two that took it. When they were at the retreat at Vanuatu, their boat came in, boat, and every man and his dog there had a virus really bad. They were so sick, and they all came on board and went to the resort, and everyone in the resort got it, including the other 24 people. The only two that didn't get it were those two that got the wormwood, and so I've always remembered that. So, you know, I would always go, those three herbs would be the biggest ones on my list for anybody, and really looking after your immune system with like poppy seeds, where you, like, I make bread and I put poppy seeds in it, and it's one of the highest sources of zinc. So that's really, really important. The cod liver oil, even vegans and that, I say don't even think about it being anything other than medicine. But, you know, if you don't want to pick something up before you go out in a crowd or something, take a tablespoon of cod liver oil.
Right. Now, this is something that ever since I've met you, and I've known you for nearly 20 years now, Trancha, you always talk about cod liver oil. I just want to give you 5 minutes on cod liver oil here, please.
Okay.
Tell us all about it.
I can give you an example with me. When I get run down and I've been working in the damp, especially in Mullaney, it can get quite wet and so forth, I'll get a stitch in the back, and it's the first sign of pleurisy again, right? So I go and have 1 tablespoon of cod liver oil and 1 teaspoon of malt extract. I always tell people, if you can't stand the taste, just have 1 teaspoon of malt extract, because your cod liver oil's got your A, D and E.
That's soluble vitamins.
Then your malt extract's got all your B's.
Okay, so people taking vitamin D tablets, cod liver oil
is far better.
Right.
Much, much better. And I find that as soon as I take that tablespoon, within an hour or so, there is no sign of anything. If I've been around young kids or people in the clinic that have been sick or that, I'll down 1 tablespoon. I don't take it every day, but I take it if I'm... Look, I can't remember the last time I've ever been sick, and I put it to... If there's a sign of anything, I take 1 tablespoon of the Melrose brand. You don't have to pay $70-odd for the expensive ones. The Melrose $20 bottle at the chemist is excellent.
Okay, so where I remember when we were kids, like sometimes in the winter, Mum would try and get cod liver oil down our throats mm-hmm. before we went to school,
yeah,
like as some kind of nurturing protection.
Yeah.
But it honestly tasted so disgusting. Yeah, it was tasted like, literally tasted like fish oil.
Yeah.
And so you think that if we put malt extract, is it a
straight
liquid
after.
Malt extract?
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't mix it, you have it after.
Just have, like for children, for instance,
yeah.
I've had people come in the clinic years ago and seriously, they would have the sickliest child
yeah.
and they'd pick up everything from school and everything like that. I'd say to them, look, just give them a teaspoon of cod liver oil and then a teaspoon of the malt extract straight after. I'd see them 12 years later and they said, you know, my child's never had a sick day since.
Mm. Today here on Medicine Room Podcast, I'm chatting with Trancha Riley, who is an iconic Australian naturopath who's had many, many years of practice, and she's sharing with us some of her concepts and ideas for healing. And one of the things that I'm finding super interesting at the moment is that you seem to have like the natural ability to combine super practical concepts with quite airy-fairy esoteric ideas.
Absolutely.
Like how does that work? How does that play out in a consultation with someone?
Okay, well, I think at times I will be very aware of what somebody needs, and some people just want naturopathy and they're pretty conventional and they wouldn't really appreciate me doing my spiritual healing. And so I tune in on the person. And so, you know, at times it'll be just a naturopathic straight consultation.
Mm.
But, and other times I'll ask people, would you like a healing?
Mm.
And I've had a couple of times where I've had a couple of Jehovah Witnesses and they've said, no, thank you, your God's different to mine. And I've gone, oh, right, okay, well, anyway. So I just work around with what the needs of the people are. But generally I do a combination. I'll do it with the naturopathy. I'll do iridology. I'll do iridology, check out their eyes, do a urine sample where I do 10 things where I check it all out.
Okay, can we just go back to iridology? Can you explain to people what iridology is and what you're looking for
okay.
with that?
Iridology, you've probably heard the saying, the eyes are the like the soul sort of thing. You can see the soul through the eyes. Mm. Well, we have patterns and different things in our eyes, and there are two methods. There's iridology, which focuses on the physical,
mm-hmm.
and so you can see, like, if somebody's got lymphatic problems or they've got a heart condition, they might have had a real problem there, or that their bowel's really congested. It'll show all up there. But then there's another method, which my husband trained in America for, which is called RAIN, and it focuses on the mental, emotional, and the spiritual aspect, still using the same signs in the actual eye.
It's like the flowers, isn't it?
Yeah.
The shapes.
Yeah, well, there's four structures there. There's a stream that you can usually tell a stream that's very, they even talk sort of very level. They don't sort of like to make, they're usually very kinesthetic. They love exercise. That's something. Or a person like me, I'm a shake-arm flower, bit of an extremist. That's what I am. Then you might have a shaker Jewel who's an extremist, but they're more analytical. Like I'm married to a shaker Jewel who's very analytical, and I'm a bit more like, for instance, if we went to, say, needed to go to Brisbane, I'd probably just hop in the car, and when I get near there, I'd stop and ask somebody where the place is. Whereas my husband, being analytical, he'd want to look up the map and check it all out and everything like that. So there's your stream, which is the kinesthetic one, and they're very sort of but they usually get attracted to a shaker who will give them the little push, right? Mm-hmm. Or you get your flower, and they usually can like a straight flower, they'd probably like a Jewel, because opposites attract and the two make the whole. So they're extreme.
Right. So when you look in people's eyes, like just like right now we're talking, you're looking at my eyes, like do you see things in people's eyes whenever, because I know sometimes I do when I look at people, I can look at them and I think of health conditions, because even though I'm not using directly iridology, but I know you have studied iridology vastly.
Yeah.
So you would be looking at people's eyes, I think, a little bit more clinically than I do.
Yeah.
How do you see when you look at people's eyes?
Well,
do you
there's
see
a little key. All right. There is a little key. The majority of people, when you're looking at somebody, the automatic thing is to virtually look at the bridge in the eye, like here.
Right.
That's where they usually look.
Yeah.
And so you get to see both eyes.
Yeah.
But if you look at one eye at a time, it'll tell you so much about a person.
Right, so focus.
You can see sadness, you can see anger, you can see resentment.
Right.
You can see all sorts of things that you don't see when you're looking at both eyes.
Right, so if that's the case, when you say the eyes are the window to the
soul,
and you're using your intuitive channeling abilities, are the eyes just another tool to give you
it's
a look at?
It's another tool.
To look
definitely.
Into people.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the eyes. It's so much, I could just spend hours talking to you because you're amazing. But if we could also just, you just said you do the iridology when you look at people, and then you said 10 things you're looking for in your
eye. Yeah, like the iron levels, the pH levels, whether or not you've got any, your white blood cells aren't working, like if you've got inflammation. There's just a whole stream of things that I just use.
Right. So you're very your naturopathic practice and your practical practice, it's very diagnostic based in
Absolutely.
A lot of ways, isn't it?
Very, very
like no
much
one can
so.
Say this is just
no.
a whole lot of hoo-ha.
No.
It's
no.
definitely
no.
like scientifically based. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like I know that, like I know when I was studying naturopathy, which was a long time after you, I was sort of studying in the late 90s, 1993, I think I started, but that was just starting, and I didn't start practicing until the early 2000s. And I know that, you know, right through from that time, I'd go to some of the company conferences and things, and there'd be all this machinery there. And I still am of the belief, I don't need that. Like,
no.
I don't really feel that we need all of that technology.
Yeah.
And, like, I know that technology's got a brilliant place, and the millions of dollars the biomedical industry has put into it. I'm just like, please, people, go and get diagnosed over there. Bring us back your test results and let us help you.
Mm-hmm.
And do you ever, are you able to diagnose quite complex things, or do you send them off like I do to the biomedical industry for that?
If, say, for instance, a few things show up where, like, no, I suppose I deal with it mostly because it'll show me whether or not they're borderline diabetic or certain things.
Yeah.
So Yellow Doc is probably one of the best things. In fact, it's probably one of the biggest sales around Christmas or party times. Yellow Doc, if people say to me, look, I really want to go off and party tonight and I want to have a few drinks, but I don't want to have the consequences, is there anything I can do? I'd say make up a big batch of Yellow Doc, and when you get home, drink it. It can be cold, but it balances out the blood sugar levels so that the next day they don't have any side effects. Plus also I say, look, get some 2%, how would you say, hydrogen peroxide. Mm. And if you're having a glass of red wine, just drop one drop in the glass and that will take the sodium dioxide.
Right.
It'll clear that out.
Right, so that alkalizes the red wine.
Yeah.
Just okay, are you telling us, here's a tip, guys, 2% hydrogen peroxide, one drop in a glass of red wine will balance out
the alcohol, it'll clear up the chemicals in it.
Do you do that?
Yeah, every now and then.
Yeah.
I'll sit around the fire with Fergus and have one glass.
Oh,
yeah.
That's lovely.
For sure.
Okay, I just want to know, because we're getting on with the end of our podcast now, but is there anything that you just really want to share with us that really interests you?
Well, basically the cod liver oil, the zinc, which is the poppy seeds, and a flat teaspoon of ascorbic acid as a preventative if you're going out and about, just as a safe precautionary measure. As far as boost, like there's nothing better than your cod liver oil for boosting your immune system. So those few things, like I'll just put poppy seeds in if I'm making some bread or on some cereal or anything like that. But they're a couple of main factors for the COVID to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is there's been a lot of talk. Oh, okay, I'll mention this. About October last year, I got a couple of puppies. I went down to Nimbin and I did a course on the cannabis, on cannabis, medicinal cannabis. So,
yeah, which is a global emerging trend at the moment. Yeah.
So I went down there and did a course in that, and it was excellent, right? And when I was down there, the friend that I was with, she's a nursing sister at Moorloombah Hospital, and she went to see, because she wanted to find out a bit more about it. And at lunchtime we went for, she said, oh, let's go in the lunch break, let's go into Nimbin itself. When we went into Nimbin, and there was this young guy there, and he had this most beautiful little puppy with the bluest of eyes. And I'm going, oh, this is gorgeous. And he said, oh, unfortunately, I have to get a home for it. And I said, I'll have it like this. So then I went, I said, I can't pick it up until after I finish the course. So on the Sunday night, I went to pick it up. And he said, oh, we've still just got one left. And I said, I'll have that one too. So I've got the two brothers now, and they're about 11 months old in a couple of days. And they are just divine. But one of them, he, like, I've had pups before, and I've taken, like, I've had dogs before, and because we're on 5 acres, we have ticks there. And seriously, what actually happened was beforehand I'd take the dogs to the vet, and the last Lassarapso I had, I was heartbroken because the vet couldn't save it. So this time I went, well, we'll do whatever we can. The little fella at Christmas got a five ticks, really the paralysis.
In about 5 minutes probably, ran through the garden.
Absolutely, but anyway, and he was that bad, I'm not kidding. I tried all those things that I knew. And then three times Fergus and I said, oh, he's not going to last, he's not going to last. And we went, oh, my God, this is absolutely horrendous. He couldn't get up, he could hardly breathe, he was anxious and everything. Then somebody had given me some cannabis oil. And I thought, hang on, what have I got to lose? So I gave him two drops. Then I gave him another two drops later on in the day. And he started coming round.
Oh, that's good.
And the next morning I gave him another couple of drops. And we called him our little stoner dog.
Yeah.
But within 2 days he was back standing up, and he recovered 100%.
Right. Okay, just to let people know, the legislation in Australia at the moment is still out. We don't know what it's going to do, but there was a movie called Highest Mike that was put out here last year. And if you do want to find out about, like, where to source cannabis in Australia and who to talk to, watch the movie Highest Mike, because unfortunately for Trencher and I as naturopaths, as much as Trench has studied this, she still is unable to give it to you or to prescribe it. And we don't know whether we will ever be able to. I certainly hope we are. I certainly hope we'll be able to extract it and prescribe it.
Well, I've got quite a bit of information about it on one of my ebooks, because I've got 13 ebooks on our middlepath.com.au website. And one of them is the natural health, like health things you can do for cancer. So I did put a whole lot of information about the cannabis concentrate and the cannabis, all the different things, and the legislation, the TGA thing. So if anybody's interested to find out up-to-date information, for $20 they can download that.
And you still excellent. Do you still have the accommodation now at your place for
people? No, no. We had three trees that unfortunately looked like they'd been poisoned about 5 years ago by one of the neighbours that was there. He was mixing stuff. And we had to recently have them taken down by this guy that he was the most amazing tree feller.
Oh, right.
Like, he was just amazing. So we had to get those chopped down, and we were concerned that it would fall down on our railway carriage.
Yes, which is an ancient railway carriage.
So we sold that.
You've sold your vintage railway carriage.
Yeah, we sold that. But we have a studio
which
is made up, and if people wanted to stay or anything like that, and we, for family members and that, we've got that all set up.
Right.
So,
Are you practicing your art in Mullaney? People will get hold of you through middlepath.com.au, which is your website, and they can download and pay for books. They can find out about your courses. And they can make an appointment to come and see
you. Absolutely, and I do online consultations, distant healings and distant diagnosis. And so, all the information's there. And my husband spent years and years of doing free articles. So if you look at the articles, there's so much information that you can just read about certain things, and it's very, very informative. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's just been such a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure being here. You're such a sweetheart. You always have been.
Oh, beautiful. So my name's Dominique Liv-Kamal. This is our podcast, Medicine Room, medicineroom.com.au. Thank you for joining us today, and we wish you wellness and joy.
Thank you. Blessings to all.